Hey, everybody.
Hello, hello, hello. Today we're talking about holiday overwhelm and busyness. We are continuing our Handling the Holiday series where I'm helping y'all out with closing out the last 30 days of holiday season. I am so glad that y'all have been doing all of this amazing work around the holidays. I think one of the most important things that we do at NoBS is we really try to help you figure out who you want to be during the holidays. We try to help you relieve some of the stress, the overwhelm, and the things that we put upon ourselves. Most diets are just trying to like keep hammering, like, here's a low calorie version of your favorite dessert. But if you're overwhelmed and stressed out, it doesn't matter. Like, who cares if you're eating a low calorie dessert if every single day you're sitting around feeling like you're not good enough, or that, if you're sitting around thinking that you've got too much to do and everybody wants a little piece of you. So I want to focus this call on the stress and the busyness and the overwhelm that comes often along with the holidays. Where does it come from? Why are we doing it to ourselves and all of those things? So what I'm going to do is I am going to promote my coach, Betsy. She's going to be on stage with me throughout this call. And she is going to be in the chat, chatting with y'all and answering any questions. She's also going to be up here. So if you put something in the Q&A, this is a Q&A call, but a lot of times y'all ask questions that she can just answer for you. And then sometimes y'all ask some questions that, like, it would be great if everybody heard the answer. So she's going to be going through those so we can get as many questions answered as possible today. But I'm going to talk a little bit about busyness and overwhelm first and a few announcements so that we can get the party started and just help y'all finish your holidays. So let me get my notes up, because I always have notes. Number one, if you want to mark your calendars, Thursday, December 9th at 5:30 p.m., Coach Judith Caton, she will be back to do the holiday style coaching. So a lot of people ask, like, is this for me? If you, like, I think it would be great to come to her coaching class if you you want some help on being confident in your clothes, if you want some help in, you know, maybe in the past you've been ashamed of being pictures and you've been ashamed of how you've looked and you want some coaching on, like, either figuring out how to like yourself or at least figuring out how to not be so hard on yourself so that you have a more enjoyable holiday. Often, one of the reasons why we get overwhelmed is what I'm going to teach you in a few minutes is about all of the shoulds that we carry around in our head. And sometimes our personal style is like, I should have lost weight. I should have better clothes. I should look like her. We carry around a lot of shoulds that stress us out. Then we get overwhelmed at our party invitations because underneath it, it's not so much that we've got so many places to go. It's that we don't like our body, and then we blame it on the busyness of the holiday. And it's like, if you loved your body, this is a great question. If you loved your body, if you didn't body shame, if you loved yourself, if you thought you were enough for everyone, that it was a gift that you are a part of this world and that people benefit from you being here, would you still feel as overwhelmed and stressed about your holidays, about parties, about gatherings? And that is just a very, like, one of the things that I want all of you to do is ask more questions of yourself. So when I say questions like that, write them down, literally answer them. Because what you find in those moments is, if it wasn't for all of the ways that I think and talk about my body in my head, I wouldn't be stressed. I wouldn't be overwhelmed. I'd be looking forward to it. I couldn't wait to go. And so your body is not the problem now. The only problem you have is, how can I love and accept myself? What are the things I need to stop telling myself first? I always think that when it comes to the body, first thing that we have to do is, before you can believe something new, you have to quit giving so much bullshit airtime to stuff that sucks, which means you have to sit around and listen for the things that suck and then not beat yourself up for hearing things that suck. And then just tell yourself, calmly all the time. We talked about this a few weeks ago about the I don'ts. You tell yourself, I don't talk to myself like that anymore. Before you even inject new thinking, sometimes the foundation of new thinking is simply telling yourself, this is not how I speak to myself anymore. I'm unlearning talking to myself like this. I'm working on believing new things. And the first thing that I have to do is know that this is a thought that doesn't feel good. I'm so glad I'm catching it now. And I'm going to stop it right here. And if you want to insert something else, you can insert a better thought about your body. You can insert like let's say that you think my body sucks. Instead of thinking my body sucks, you're like, you know what? I don't talk like this to myself anymore. I just want to remember I have a body. This is my body. And everything else does not matter anymore. That just takes the temperature down. And then you get to start adding things on that you would love to add on. I still to this day catch myself all the time, like looking at my body and my brain immediately wants to go to what's wrong. And then I tell myself, that's a no. And I always say, like, look at yourself and find something you like. Some days it's harder than, I'm going to tell you, today is a really hard day. I am on a rager period. And when I'm on my period, I was telling Chris, like, my brain offers all the crap about everything in the world. Like, I told him, I said, this morning, I literally feel like hormones are seeping out of my pores. Like, I'm just touchy. Everything is sore. I'm weepy. I got up this morning and just started crying. I could not even tell you why. It just, like, I was overwhelmed with emotion. And I always nitpick myself. And I have reminded myself 1,000 times this morning, like, we don't talk to ourselves like that. Find something you like. Today, it's all about my lip gloss. I was like, you have great taste in lip gloss. You know, I would rather think about that than just be like, yeah, today's just one of the days that sucks. Today's just one of the days that I just talk terrible to myself. Today's one of the days that my body is terrible. I mean, I could stay there, but it's not Pleasantville. And I don't need to go to Happy Land, but I don't have to entertain beating myself up either. And that's what I want for y'all. So on Thursday, Judith is a body and style expert. We're so lucky to have her coming here. So please take advantage of that call. If you can't attend in person, just please listen to the replay. So Thursday, December 9th at 5:30 p.m. Central Time. On Friday, December 10th at 10 a.m., Coach Yesenia is going to be hosting the Doable Reentry Plan Worksheet Call. So in this session, she's going to be helping you with if you go to Handling the Holidays, you can find all the information in the self-paced resources underneath self-study workshops, Handling the Holidays. There is an amazing worksheet in there that I think is very valuable. So if you go to camp, which if you haven't signed up for camp, do not forget that if you're coming to Nashville for our Smoking Wicked hotel deal, which is $209 a night downtown at the Renaissance, which is a fucking nice hotel, steps from Broadway and connected to one of the new arcade food court malls. Like it's a big deal in Nashville. If you register before December 31st, you're guaranteed to get an individual picture with me, because we can't take pictures with everyone anymore. But if you register early for the in-person camp, you will get an individual picture. So I just want to make sure you don't forget that. But when we do camps, I always talk to people about, you need a reentry plan for when you leave. You've been in the camp bubble, whether you do virtual or you do in person. You're in this bubble for 3 days of, like, you know, the woman's womb, where we're just sitting there warm and cuddly and working through our things and with our friends and doing all and just, you know, figuring out how to love our life. Well, then you got to go home and the cat box hasn't been changed. And looks like the kid's diaper hasn't been changed either since you left. And like all the things are happening. And so I always talk about having this doable reentry plan. We do the same things, like I do it for vacations. When I come home from vacation, I have a protocol of what we do. It's like, you know, I go to the grocery store after I drop the boys off at home, or I make sure that if I can, I make sure Aunt JJ has been to the house and we have fresh food in the house so that we're not just sitting there like, oh, we're going to eat out one more time. So you want to make sure that you do this session, because with the holidays, a lot of you, you know, you are going a lot, you're doing a lot of things. And so you want to make sure that you have that doable reentry plan. This is one of the things that we do to take care of our future self. Like, our future self is going to be coming home from, you know, family things loaded with words. Some people are going, like, some of you are going to go and have a lovely experience and it's going to be so much fun. And you're going to come home and you're going to need a doable reentry plan because you're bringing home laundry, a ton of gifts that you got to find a new home for, and all this other kind of stuff. Plus, you're going back to work and you've been in the loveliness of the holidays and you've had time off. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, fuck me. I got to go back to work. I'm sure nobody checked my email, blah, 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 blah. So you want to have a doable reentry plan. Some of you are going to the holidays and you're going to be around assholes. And it's just your duty to get your booty there every year, knowing that it's going to be a shit show and Uncle Bocephus is going to be drunk and he's going to say asshole stuff, maybe flip a table, do something. You too need a doable reentry plan. You too need something that when you come home that you can do that makes sense for you, that protects you, so that you're not coming home full of disappointment, anger, and venom. And you ain't got no food and you ain't got no plan. And then some of you don't have any holiday plans. You do not celebrate the holidays, or maybe you don't have family and you're going to be single. Even for you, if you have time off, you may need a doable reentry plan, because either you might be sad about that. You might be lonely. Some of you are grieving. Doable reentry plans are the smartest thing that we do for our future selves, because it's that smooth transition back into real life, rather than thinking that we have to turn on like a faucet everything we think we should be doing on a dime. And y'all, I'm just going to say, we're loving seeing Corinne on the shelf everywhere and your bingo cards. You can find it on the Handling the Holidays homepage. If you're looking for the bingo card, you're looking for where is that Corinne shelf on a shelf thing, it's on the Handling the Holidays page. And if you'll use hashtag holidays handled, I'll be able to see them, because I search through hashtags a lot. All right. I want to give out two shout outs and then we're going to talk about busy and overwhelm. Shout out to Kelly Young in California. She is going to be holding a goal getter potluck at her house, and to watch the live event on January the 2nd. So she's created this potluck and they're all going to come over to her house and they're going to watch our goal getter event on January 2nd from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. It's going to be an amazing day. If you want to hold a meetup, you can visit the meetups page on our site underneath Facebook. So there's a button for Facebook and accountability groups. We have a meetup calendar where you can schedule one, or you can just post in the Facebook group and start looking for women in your area. If you want to get together and y'all want to watch the workshop together, just like a little mini camp. That's what a lot of people do for virtual camps. They sign up for virtual camp, they get an Airbnb, they all, like, accountability groups get together, they do all the things, and they watch the event together, and then they eat together at night and stuff. So I thought that was a neat idea. So congratulations, Kelly, for doing that. And Sophia G, she said, while doing the Handling the Holidays course, two things kept coming up for her. She was feeling very overwhelmed, and she had this fear that she was going to binge through all of the unstructured time between Christmas and New Year's. And this is one of the reasons why we give you a doable reentry plan. It's because we want to try to set you up for every single thing that might come up. I was talking to, we're in a 4-day meeting over my team, not all of the team, but a few members of the team, where we are laying the groundwork for building like a no BS new land. So much is going to, it'll be about a year before y'all see it. But the first process started yesterday. And as we were telling them, they were asking me all these questions. And I kept saying, my job is to think about my woman. Like, my job is to be obsessed about her and figure out, because of my experience, what is the next problem that's going to come up for her? And how can I make sure that I give her the right tools and the right thinking so that it either doesn't become a problem, or that when the problem hits, when the obstacle comes, she crushes through it instead of what usually happens, which is, it's like, oh, there's a cock blocker. I can't do it. Like, yet again, something that's going to get in the way of my weight loss. And so we try to design everything to, like, I'm always thinking, what is the next problem in front of you? And how can No BS solve it? How can No BS give you everything you need, equip you with the right mindset and the right tools so you could crush things? And so Sophia has a legit fear, which a lot of us do, which is, like, when I'm not at work, it, like, I tend to just eat. I mean, I don't have structure. I don't have a plan. You know, I'm just sitting around. Years past, I've just ate my face off. I will just say, for all of you, I was answering a question in Facebook early this morning. Sometimes, even with all of our plans and all the things we tell you, I want to explain something that your brain does. If your brain remembers that the last holiday that you ate your face off. So, like, Sophia is like, I just remember binging. I remember overeating because of my unstructured time. We want to create some structure and we want to think about it new. We also want to anticipate that this time is coming, but we want to anticipate it with confidence that we know we're likely to get triggered. We know that last year that is what our behavior was, and that this year I want to show up different. Now, we can make all these plans. We can think about all of this stuff. And what I see a lot of you get hosed up on is, you think because you do all that work, that in the moment of impact, like, here comes my day off, you know, here's my week off, that you're not supposed to be triggered with urges to eat, that you are like not supposed to have problems. Like, it freaks you out that your brain is like, hey, girl, first day off, I've got a good idea. You know all those cookies? Let's get to eating. And you're like, oh God, I made plans. Why is this happening? I thought this wouldn't happen. I'm going to tell you right now, your brain's job is to run up on a scenario that's similar, and its only job is to go and dig in its filing cabinet for a memory of, like, all right, how did you handle this last time? How did you handle this last time? And it pulls it out. It doesn't think about, hey, go to new thinking first. Every now and then it does. We call that a miracle when it happens. Miracle from the baby Jesus in the golden diaper. But what's probably going to happen is your brain's going to just act normal and do what it's supposed to do, which is low energy work, which is, let me see how you did it last time. And then when it finds, like, well, here's the script. I noticed last year you binged, you overate, you made it out like these were the last cookies on the face of the earth and you'd never get another one. So it starts, like, let's put that pattern on repeat. Here's what you need to know. Just because you get an urge, just because your brain starts thinking the same way, just because, like, everything in your mind is signaling the same, doesn't mean that you're broken. It doesn't mean that something went wrong. It doesn't mean that your plans won't work. It just means now you've got to be like, all right, I knew this was coming. I knew that I would want to eat. I knew that I would think, like, oh, we're off. It won't matter. And I've made a plan for it. The and is the most important part. So it's like, when you see your old patterns get triggered and activated in you, I don't care if you catch it when you're eating. I don't care if you catch it when you're just feeling urging. I don't care if you catch it when you just are thinking about it. I don't even care if it's in, like, 5 days off and on day three, you notice what you're doing. Whenever you catch it, you add the and I anticipated this, and I knew this was coming. So I want to use the conscious part of my brain to tell myself, this is what we planned. This is not a big deal. Literally, please hear me when I say this. Just because you think something, it's not a big deal. Just because you're having an urge and you're tasting it in your mouth, I don't know why I'm coughing so much. It's not a big deal. If you start eating the cookies, you're 5 in out of 6 and you catch yourself. You can tell yourself, not a big deal. I'm so glad I caught myself. I don't even have to finish the 6th one. Look at me. I got 5 cookies. You could always think about it this way, but y'all fucking freak out. You're like, oh my God, it's so terrible. It must be broken. Nothing ever works. I make plans. Why bother thinking about it? That's the problem. So skip that part. So I just don't want you guys to freak out that when we do all this work, just because your brain gets activated the same way as last year doesn't mean last year is going to repeat. That's why we make plans ahead of time. That's why we make doable reentry plans. That's why we think about this stuff. All right. So while she's like having all this fear and stuff, she went to the replay page. This is Sophia. And she used our, if you haven't seen it on the replay page, we have this awesome new drop-down menu where we have all kinds of categories for our calls. What we did was we sat and we thought about the most asked, needed, and searched things that you guys look for. And we've been working on grouping them so that it's so easy to find what you need exactly when you need it. So if you go to the video replays of the NoBSWomen.com website and you use the drop-down menu on that page, you'll find valuable resources like Sophia. She used the overwhelm and time management drop-down, and it gave her a lot of relief that she can get very specific help exactly when she needs it. And that's why we created it. So if you've been, if it's been a minute since you went to the website, I highly encourage you to go and check out the video replays. Look at the drop-down menu. And if something's like, ooh, that sounds like me, watch some of those videos. Look at some of those resources. I bet you you'll find a little bit of help that you need. All right, let's talk about busyness and overwhelm. So if you go to the website, you're going to notice we do have tons of resources on overwhelm. A few months ago, I did a really special call on overwhelm. That applies to the holidays. But today, what I want to do is I want to focus on a few things that are very holiday specific for all of you and break it down. And then you guys, if you have questions, you can go ahead and put them in the Q&A. Number one is that overwhelm starts with a lot of should thinking. So I want you to think about where right now in the holidays am I thinking about a lot of shoulds? Like, I should get my kids these presents. I should have lost weight. I should go to my in-laws. I should decorate more. I should make cookies for my kids' class. A lot of us have a lot of should thinking. And this is going to come not only from internal shit, like I should do more. I should enjoy this more. I shouldn't be so upset, or they should love me more. But we also get a lot of external messaging during the holidays. Like, the media goes ham. Like, if you think about in the media, every Christmas commercial, all of the holiday commercials, it's like everybody's fucking jolly, big ass presents. You know, it's an amazing time. I mean, come on. These commercials are not shot like what really happens. Even, I don't know if it's Audi. It's one of the bigger car makers. They always have that Christmas commercial every year where the person is like relaxing in the car because there's like mayhem going on in the house. And it's like, bitch, please. If mayhem looked like that at my house, I'd be happy to go in there. Like, they're having a snow globe party or something. I'm like, that is not what mayhem looks like for the Crabtrees. And like my brother's side of the family, we're all the Wrights. It's like, no, it's a little different. So you want to make sure that you start noticing, like, all right, where are my shoulds and where am I hearing all this? Like, you're going to very soon, you guys are going to have a lot of should messaging around. You should be getting ready for January the 1st because that's when dieting starts. That's why we wanted to give y'all a workshop this year on what real goal setting was like. Because what I don't want you guys doing is starting some bullshit, like sneaking around and no BS, like, well, I'm going to do this detox cleanse, or, you know, I'm really going to secretly be doing this over here. Don't fall into those traps. There's no shoulds. Here's the thing. There are just things that you want to do, and you need to understand why you want to do them. Shoulds are an indicator that when you talk that way, number one, it always sounds terrible to yourself. Like, shoulds always feel terrible. And if you're shoulding on someone else, it feels judgy. It feels like you know better. And even if you're right, that like energy just doesn't feel great for you. Because if somebody should be acting another way, there's also a thought under it, like, and because they're not acting that way, well, now I'm not happy. So you have to watch out for should language. I think one of the other things that we have to watch out for when it comes to shoulds is just kind of understanding, like, where is this coming from? Like, do I really want these shoulds? So an exercise that I've done in my life that I think will be helpful for y'all is you just make a big list of all the things you think you should be doing. This helps with overwhelm and busyness. Some things, the shoulds, are like judgments of other people. Just set all that aside. All right. I want you to make a list of all the things you think you should be doing. That it's going to look more like a to-do list. Like, I should go get gifts. I should wrap everything perfectly. I should have my tree up already. I should bake cookies for all of my grandbabies every day. Like, whatever that is. So like, you've got the shoulds that are like to-dos. Let's just tackle that for busyness and overwhelm. Then you're going to go through all of it and you're going to think about, is this really important, or is this something that I am just putting extra pressure on myself to do? One of the problems with shoulds and to-do lists is that when we're overwhelmed, it is because we're often given every single thing on our list of to-dos equal value. So changing the cat box is just as important as sending a love letter to your mother. Like, we don't really think about like what's really important. So I'm going to tell y'all a business hack that we do that sometimes can be helpful with to-do lists. You take everything you think you need to do. So it could be your shoulds. It's like everything that's on your to-do list. Everything that you think is like, I got to get this done. I got to get them. Shoulds are kind of like, I got to get this done. I have to do this. I need to do this. I want you to make that list. And then what you do is you just, and I think I may have talked to y'all about this before, but we're going to do it one more time. You get out like four different colored markers. This is super simple. I want you to look at your list and I want you to first put like a check mark. It doesn't matter what color you use. So don't get help. I'm not even going to announce the colors. You put a check mark, a little dash next to everything that would be easy and quick for you to get done. So like if it's, I would usually for me, I call it my 5 minutes or less tasks. Because a lot of times I have tons of 5 minute tasks that if I would just do some of them, I'd get on a roll. But I like look at all of it and think about how much it is, how big that list is. This is so overwhelming, blah, 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 blah. I don't do any of them because I'm putting equal value on the entire list. I'm making a judgment about my entire list. What you want to do, you don't want to do that. You want to take your list and you want to think about it in a way of like, all right, I just want to see what's important and what's really not. So green is easy. Well, scratch that. Do not call it green. You give it a color dash of your choice. Next, you go through and you mark everything that's going to be hard. Like, it's going to take you some time. Maybe you don't even know all the steps to get it done. Maybe it's going to take several things. Maybe you have to work with someone else in order to get it done. It's going to take you a little bit. So then you go through and you mark everything that's hard to do. and they get another color. And you go back to your list and you think, okay, now what I want to do is look at all the things and everything on the list that is high impact. Like, this means a lot to me. So if it's in business, we call it high impact. It means lots of lives will change. Like, it's going to, like, you know, this is a big deal. So look at your list and, like, what would be high impact? Like, what, you know, what is going to be important and valuable? Like, other people will benefit in an extreme way. So you want to really think about that. And then the other one is, like, low impact. Like, hardly nobody will notice. You know, a couple people will, but it won't be that big deal. Or, you know, this is something that I do, but I barely know those people, whatever it is, low impact, right? You can put your parties and stuff on there. Then all you do is you look at your list. Whatever is easy to do and has a high impact, guess what? That's the first things you order on your to-do list. These are the things to get done. Doesn't even matter what order you do them in, because they're easy and they make a big impact. And the next thing you put on the list is what is easy and low impact. Because if it's easy to get done and it has a little bit of impact, maybe that's where you want to start. So a lot of times I just go with those. The next is what is high impact, but it's hard to do. So I put them on a list. And then the last is what is low impact, and it's hard to do. Guess what you do with that part of the list? Me, I tear that up and throw it away. Because I've just learned in that exercise, if it's low impact and it's hard to do, why am I even fucking bothering? Like, that's the question I like to ask myself. Like, that is good. Like, I would much rather you throw those things away, but spend more time asking yourself, why in my mind would I want to even do those things? It's serving me in some way to even put it on the list. Probably this is people pleasing. Probably this is, I should be doing this. Probably this is perfectionistic standards I've put on myself. So this is my opportunity to start unlearning, like, of those things. What are things that I need to just learn how to say no to? Like, my growth is in saying no to those things, not in doing them, just to people please. So that's a quick way to kind of, like, assess. Now, for the high impact and hard to do, sometimes what you'll do is you'll look at that list and there will be some of those where you're like, all right, I'd rather do those because of the impact it'll have, versus something that's easy to do with low impact. So you just start inserting them in. And then what you can do is that as you get momentum and as you're getting things done, number one, you're going to start finding that you can get a lot more done doing that because your brain has now got an easy way to prioritize some stuff for the holidays. So you get the momentum. And then when you get some momentum, a lot of your bullshit is going away. So you're not thinking anymore like how much you have to do. You're now thinking, I'm going to do this next. I know what to do next. The other thing that it does is it makes you start understanding not everything is equal in value. That is one of the problems with overwhelm, is that we look at everything and we make all of it super important. And then we not only make all of it super important, but we also attach to it. And if we don't do all of these things, I am a problem. So I want you to think about this. Your lists and stuff just have things on it that you think you should, need, have to, or gotta do. And when you take a look at it and you think you've got to do all of it, it equals something. And the reason why most of us feel so busy and overwhelmed and wore out in the holidays is because if we don't do those things, this means I'm bad. I'm a problem. I'm not good enough. I should be able to get it all done. No one supports me. It's what a thinking that we attach to all of that. So when you just get better at looking at your things, like one of the things that I want all of you to be able to do, which I think is a superpower of weight loss, is to slow down your thinking. Hear more of it. Notice your thinking patterns. Question your thinking patterns. Don't just believe everything your brain says to you. Your brain is making shit up all the time. And it's not a really good storyteller, to be honest. It sees everything as a problem. So slowing your thinking down and be like, all right, let me look at my list. Rather than sitting around saying I'm busy and overwhelmed, can I just, which is another tool we teach you here at NoBS, can I just prioritize things? Can I just sit here and look at the stuff and really examine what's important and what's not? What's easy to do and what's going to be harder to do? Can I just get started with the easy stuff so I can get some wins? All right. And somebody just made a good point. Also, see if anything on your list can be delegated. I think that that is something that I think more women in particular, we need to learn how to do, which is delegate and ask for help. You asking for help does not mean that you're weak. That is your thought. You asking for help means that you know how to find the right people to do things for you. So you can do more important things. Please, all of you, don't think you've got to do all of the things. You just don't. And doing lots of things doesn't make you more valuable or worthy. You're valuable no matter what. You're worthy no matter what. You don't have to earn any worthiness. You don't have to earn love, respect, or any of it. I would love to see you doing a lot more convincing yourself that you love you, that you value you. The reason why I ask the question every day, I'm worth this work, is because most of you don't sit around and think near enough about how worthy you really are, how much you contribute every day. All the, like, you'll say, like, I do so much, and you'll say it in such a way like it's a bad thing, rather than like, yeah, I do a lot. That's why I'm going to start asking for some help, because I'm worth getting some help. Because I'd like to start spending a little bit more time with the important things in my life, rather than sitting around giving everything equal value, and the truly important people and the truly important things just keep getting pushed to the side. For dishes, laundry, folding, carpooling, doing that extra project at work, whatever it is. All right. Also, there's another trick with busyness and overwhelm that I've used in the past too that I wanted to give y'all for this. And then y'all, you better put some questions in that Q&A, or I'm gonna be blowing out of here to get some blowing out of here to get some breakfast, because I have not ate yet today. One of the things that you also can do is, a lot of us during the holidays, the reason why we get so overwhelmed is we worry a lot. We worry about what people are going to think. We worry that we're going to get the wrong presents. We're worried that they're not going to like it. We're worried they're going to say something to us. You can make a list of everything that you're worried about for the holidays. You just let your brain have at it. Let it have its heyday. Your brain loves nothing better than to actually get to bitch. Let it bitch on paper. Don't let it just bitch in your head. When you're bitching in your head, guess what happens? You believe all that bitching and moaning. So what you want to do is you want to write all of it on the paper. You'll feel some, like, just take a look at it and be like, see, I knew it. This is why I'm feeling so stressed out and worried. It's all these sentences in my brain. Don't look at that and be like, oh my God, I'm broken. I want you to look at it and I want you to think like, see this right here. This is exactly the sentences that are causing me to feel stressed and causing me to feel worried through the holidays. That's very powerful for your brain, because when you think of it that way as sentences, you automatically get some relief. Your brain starts separating from my worries are true. My worries are real. My worries are urgent. They're dangerous. They're important. I need to think about them. So everybody, I will answer the question of where did I get this sweater in just a moment. That's the only question we keep getting at. Well, there's one other question, Sheila. I see you. So you make a list and then you ask yourself for each one, what's in my control? So if you're worried about what somebody else is going to think, it's like, well, that one's not in my control. There's nothing I can do about that one. I can just show up my best and they're going to think what they're going to think. My job is to pay more attention to what I'm thinking so that I feel better about myself, not to fear what's going on in their head, because then I just freak out. So you ask yourself, what's in my control? The stuff that's not in your control, you remove that from your worry list and you write it down and you say, all right, if I want to freak out about this stuff, I'm going to do it at 4:45 every day for 10 minutes. And I can sit and just go ham on feeling like shit about it. I'd rather you have structured shitty time than to just have this like, oh my God, it's all so true. I just worry so much. I'm supposed to be worrying because I'm a mother. Blah, 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 blah. Don't do that to yourself. So it's like, if it's out of your control and there's nothing you can do about it, you can journal on it if you want, but if nothing else, you can set that bullshit aside. You can schedule worry time. And that's when I do that. And when the timer goes off, guess what I tell myself? I don't think about that anymore till tomorrow at 4:45. Then you go back to your list. So now you should have some stuff you have some control over. So then you pull off stuff of like, all right, what do I have some control over? And the things that you have some control over, you make a list of what you can do about them now. And you take some action so that you relieve some of the worry. Then you're going to have a few things on there. Most of us are worries. We don't have any control, or we have a little bit of control. Every now and then, we have a lot of control over our worries. We're just spinning out and worry and overwhelmed and busy, and we're not doing dick about it. So the stuff that you have like, oh, this is in my control. Like, I could just stop thinking this every time I hear it. Like, if you're worried that you're going to go to the Christmas party and your dress won't fit, I have total control over that. I could always try the dress on and see if it fits right now. And if it doesn't, I could go buy a new one. I could quit telling myself that in 10 days, somehow I'm going to lose 10 pounds in order to get into it. So there's some things we have total control over. Those things that you have total control over, you tell yourself, so I don't need to worry about this. Here's the things I just need to do so that I can quit wasting my time worrying. I promise you, if you do those things, like just the worry list and prioritizing your shoulds and your to-dos, you will notice your holidays will be so much simpler. And it won't be because you cut a lot of shit out and all this other stuff. It will be because you adjusted your mindset, which is the best tool that I can give you, is a mindset tune-up every single week. All right. Where is this sweater from? There is a store in Nashville called Aritzia, A-R-I-T-Z-I-A. I've never been there until last Saturday. So on once or twice every Christmas season, the Green Hills Mall in Nashville is my son's favorite mall. Since he was a baby, we have taken him to that mall. It was the first place he ever saw Santa. Was the first and last, because he freaked out with Santa. Same thing with the Easter Bunny. Both pictures with the Easter, the one with the Easter Bunny, this was literally Logan's picture. And then the one with Santa, you could see all the tears in his eyes. And they somehow grabbed a photo of him where he looked like he was smiling. He actually was miserable. So we quit taking him to the characters after that. But as he got a little older, like, he loved the escalators and he loved the fountain. And then he fell in love with the Christmas decorations and just, he's always loved it. He's 19. His one wish every year, and he starts asking me at Halloween, is, will you please take me to Green Hills Mall so I can take pictures and I can see all the Christmas decorations? So last Saturday, we did our annual trip to Green Hills Mall. We're going to go one more time. And we walked around for 3 hours. And I did a little shopping. I had to get some Christmas presents and stuff, but he went into every store. He left there with over 100 pictures that he took of Christmas decorations and trees and lights. And he's just really good with photography and angles. I'll get him to send me a few of his good ones, and I'll post it in the Facebook group for y'all so you can kind of see some of the pictures. I took a selfie with us too. So I got like one selfie. But we ate at Cheesecake Factory. We shopped. He took his pictures, and we're going to try to go back one more time because he just loves it. But that's where I got this sweater. It was at Aritzia. I also got a jacket there too for my niece for Christmas. That was really cute. But this is an Aritzia sweater. I think it's like, I don't think, I'll look it up to make sure, but well, I can't really see the tag, but I don't think it was a different brand. I think it was their brand, and it's warm as all get out. So you better want a warm sweater. Can you talk more about adding easy structure to days off? Yeah, it's called your 24-hour plan. So when you have a day off, first of all, you just make your food plan. And you just know that when you get hungry, this is what you're going to eat. And when I have, like, if I'm going to have days off, I'd probably do a food prep if I was y'all. Like, rather than just being like, well, I'm just going to, like, sit around and hope for the best. If you're off, do a food prep. Have something, have like delightful things in your fridge, like have a big fruit bowl in there. So it's easy for you to like have fruit as a dessert with your lunch. Make a salad bar in your fridge. So it's easy to throw together a salad and it's delicious and fill it with things that you love. And then plan time to exercise. If you like exercise, plan time to take walks. Pull up, like, think about, like, you know, are there Nobius replays? Are there courses that you would love to take because you normally don't have time to like dive deep into the content? Pick a time, like say, like, you know what? Since I'm going to be off, I'm going to spend a couple hours. I'm going to get out my laptop or my iPad. I'm going to print the workbook. I'm going to like do all the exercise. I'm going to kind of like go to class. And then I'm going to tell my accountability partners everything that I learned. Those are some things to do. Look at my faves page, go to pnp411.com/faves, order one of the books or get it on Audible and take walks and be like, you know, this is a good time for me to read one of them books Corinne's always talking about. So those are some things that you can do. So just think about like when, and then I would schedule, honestly, I'm just a big scheduler. So if I had time off, I would also schedule like Netflix time. What are you looking forward to watching? Schedule time to watch it. So like, you know what, on Saturday, or like, let's say it's on a Thursday from 1 to 5, I want to binge this show. Like when you plan things like that, that's how you prevent your future self from feeling guilty for doing it. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. If we work outside the house and when we get home, we feel behind because of all the outside of the workplace stuff hasn't been worked on. You don't have to feel behind. So feeling behind is because you're like, these things aren't done. It's the thought these things aren't done. If you come home and you think like, okay, what do I want to do? Let me always start with the things that I want to do. Is there someone in the family that I need to talk to and not yell and act like an asshole to? But just say, hey, I keep coming home. I thought we agreed you were going to do this. Can you tell me like what's getting in the way? How can I help you figure out how to help me? Like having like a very, like, this is Yolanda, a good question, because when we have our camp in March, we're doing Relationships Weekend. One of the things that we all think of, like we have to kind of re-engineer our thinking about, is how do we talk to people about helping us? Relationships Weekend is not about all the people that have broken, busted ass relationships. If you have some broken ones, I guarantee you're going to come out of there feeling like you know what to do now to do some repair work and to improve them. But the majority of Relationships Weekend is about understanding how relationships work and figuring out the relationships you want, the ones you want to double down on, the ones you want to improve, the ones that like already are great, and how do you amplify them so that you get even more greatness. It's not just about broken relationships. And it's about the relationship with yourself and others and your body and your job and things like that. We have relationships all over the place. And sometimes when we work outside the home and we come home and no one's helping and we start like, now we take it upon ourselves, like I'm behind. It's like, rather than thinking I'm behind, it's thinking more about, so what can I do to solve this problem? If I'm not going to be the one who does it all, and I'm going to need to get help, what is the best way for me to approach these people? How would they like me to have this conversation with them? That's one of the things that we forget about in relationships. It's like, we just go in thinking they should do these things. And, you know, I've said this before and blah, blah, blah. And what we think about is at the end of the day, if you want some stuff done, you need to think about how can I get them to do it? So let me figure out a way to talk to them in a way that I think that they would be responsive. Most of the time what we do is we go in with all of our shoulds and we go in talking to them the way we think they should be talked to. And then we don't get shit. It's like, you would be the worst contract negotiator ever if that's all you ever did. It's same types of mindset. But when it comes to people and it comes to things like that, you get out of contract land, all of a sudden we have all this emotion and stuff. And remember, all the emotion doesn't come from their lack of doing or the lack of the things done. All of the emotion comes from our thinking about all of it. So if you want help, we have to think about what is the best way for me to get help? And it's probably not yelling and screaming. And I'm not saying you're doing that, Yolanda. I'm just saying that I know that in the past, I was a yeller and a screamer. So sometimes what would happen is I could get people to do things. I could get Chris to do things for me if I yelled loud enough and I was angry enough and slammed enough doors at the expense of our relationship. And I realized I didn't want him helping me out around the house, mad at me. That wasn't helping our relationship, and it wasn't even helping me. So sometimes there were things that I wanted him to do that I realized I'm like, he hates doing it. And I just think he should like it all of a sudden. I was like, you know what? I'm making something a really big deal. Like, I always do the dishwasher. I don't like it. I have been on occasion wishing the boys would do it too. But you know what I finally realized? I timed it one day. It's like a 4.5 minute task. I don't like doing it, but I wanted Chris to love doing it. I wanted him to just run in there gleefully and like do it because he loves me. It's like, Kryn, I think he loves you. Whether or not he spends 4.5 minutes a day doing the dishwasher really isn't a state of our relationship being. And when I did that and I just realized, I'm like, I can just do this. And then I focused on other things that he did. I was like, I would much rather him be doing some of these other things, like homeschooling our child, than to be demanding that he unload a dishwasher. And that's an extreme example, but that I think is common. I think sometimes we do those things. I don't know how to stop my brain from taking over and letting it eat whatever it wants. I start the day motivated with a doable plan, and then lately my brain just takes over. Our brain never just takes over. So Miranda, the best thing that you could do is, like, you know, probably none of us are surprised at our overeating. It's like we act like our brain just takes over. I'm like, Miranda, your child's life, your fur baby's life, your partner's life, or you had to pay me $50,000 if you were like if I said, hey, I need you to tell me your most common pattern. You would tell me exactly when you do this. And I'm like, okay, well, I will give you $50,000 if you can interrupt that pattern. Somehow your brain would never take over anymore. Be like, oh, okay, well, if I'm going to get $50,000, then every day when my pattern starts, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell myself this. I'm going to watch out for that, blah, 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 blah. So that's how we just know that our brain cannot take over. Now, it may be happening fast. So now what you got to do is you got to get really good at slowing that part of the day down. So I would go to the video replays and I would look for like overeating calls. We've done 1,000 coaching calls on overeating, stopping at enough, whatever your problem is. That will be in the video replays dropdown. I would watch some of those calls on, you know, how do you deal with the urges and how do you slow things down? And all this is, Miranda, is urges. And sometimes what we do is we just hit a season in life where our urges come on a little faster, they come on a little more sudden, and it feels like they're taking over. And it's like, oh, I just have to go back a little bit, re-implement some of the things that I've learned, and stop thinking that something's wrong and broken. There's nothing wrong with having to break something down a few steps back. Like, okay, I know exactly what to do. I remember the last time this happened. And I remember what, you know, like if Corinne said in this video to do these things, that doesn't mean you're going backward. And it doesn't mean something's wrong. It means you're smart enough to rewind a little bit, take a couple steps back and reinsert a couple things in your thinking and in your doing that makes sense to get you out of this rut. So I would look at the video replays first and listen to a couple of coaching calls. And if you really want to double down on this, I would go to Urges 2.0 and I would take that course again. My brain still wants special treats and cookies around leading up to the holiday because it's festive because the kids need to feel this time as special and my family has had these things around. And I know I have a hard time eating just one or sticking to my plan if they are around. Any tips? Yeah, it's because you're calling them special treats. Like my brain still wants them. Yeah, your brain does. So give your brain what it wants. Put them on the plan and quit thinking, I have a hard time stopping. Put them on your plan and tell yourself, rather than I have a hard time stopping, your brain, the reason why it's wanting them so bad is because it already senses your desire to restrict them. Like, well, you have a problem with them, so you probably shouldn't plan them. There's no way you could lose weight with them. The problem is not going to be eating cookies in control. The problem is going to be if you hang on to thinking that you're out of control with cookies, try not to plan them, worry about them and stuff, and then eat them out of control because of that, because you're not practicing control thoughts. So put your cookie on your plan and say, this is an excellent opportunity this holiday season for me to enjoy cookies, have them on my plan, want to eat more, and tell myself, this year's different. I don't have to restrict anymore. Like I get to have one tonight and tomorrow I'll have another one. And this is great. I'm getting to partake. The reason why we end up overeating them is if we overeat one thing like, see, I have a really hard time with them. I don't know if this is good or not. I'm worried I'm going to lose. I might gain some weight. When you do all that, guess what? Your brain starts releasing a lot of anxiety. And when the anxiety cranks up, guess what happens? You want to relieve anxiety. And so you eat more cookies to do that, to quit thinking about how you can't have them and that they make you gain weight. We just want to do a pattern interrupt in your brain there. Last question. This time of year is so hard for my son who has autism. He feels all the feels of change of schedule, less daylight, chaos of family events, etc. And it makes me feel like I'm constantly trying to keep peace. How do you, as a special needs mom, think about yourself and things you can control versus trying to keep everyone calm and happy? I don't, This is the thing. Your problem, Kara. I don't know if it's Kara or Kara. I have friends who say it just each way. So bear with me. I don't think my job is to keep him happy and calm. I think my job is to understand why he feels the way he feels, and that that's normal for him. And that my job is sometimes to ache for him. My job is sometimes to know that this is normal and that it doesn't always feel good. It doesn't feel good for him and it doesn't feel good for me. Like, I drop the whole like balancing act of trying to make things perfect, peaceful, and calm. Everyone is not supposed to be happy and calm the whole time, especially him. It's the way I've always thought about Logan. More of my job is to just sit there and love him and to know sometimes it's painful for me because I want him to be happy. And I know right now he can't be. It's too much for his brain. So I just want to love him through it. And I think that's a big thing. And that whether your kids have autism or not, y'all, I think a lot of us are striving to keep everyone happy and everyone calm. And we all, like, for years, you know, God love my mother, but God, for years, she was not, we were actually joking about it yesterday in our team meeting. She would appreciate this, but one of my team members who was trained Mammy when she first came on board, she was very negative. This was before she listened to anything that I ever did. And holidays in particular, Mammy was very negative. And it was like, she just always missed her parents. She just dwelled on everything that was wrong with the holidays. And I finally just realized my job is not to make her happy. And my job is not to sit and wish that she would be happy. My job is just to realize that, like, this is what Mammy does. And that as her daughter, I just need to understand. And I don't need to make it a problem for me. Like, I can hold space. Like, I can sit and be annoyed sometimes and remind myself, being annoyed is normal. I don't have to react to it. Being annoyed is normal. I don't have to tell her how she needs to act. I'll just be annoyed and then I'll be understanding. So, like, letting yourself just kind of see, we don't always need it to be happy and stuff. There are one of the things I would encourage a lot of you to do, Betsy, I'm not sure we even have this on the website, but I'm going to say it out loud anyway. And then if we don't, maybe we can at least find a link to one on the internet, but the old feelings wheel. One of the things that would be helpful for a lot of y'all is we just get so caught up in a few very limited feelings. It's like we're either happy or we're sad. We're either glad or we're disappointed. Like, we don't go to the middle a lot. And there are always feelings like understanding, willingness, compassion, thoughtfulness, like caring. There's lots of feelings in the middle. And for a lot of you who kind of get caught in just the black and white version of feelings, looking at a feelings wheel and just asking yourself, like, all right, like, my son is having a hard time and I want to keep the peace. But what else could I keep? Could I keep awareness? Could I keep understanding? So when you look at a feelings wheel, you can try on a lot of different feelings and just ask yourself, what is like obtainable for me? Sometimes you can ask yourself the question of what would I like to feel? And sometimes that feeling feels unachievable or unobtainable. So then you can ask yourself, what could I realistically feel that would be a little different and it'll give me a little bit more relief than the one I'm currently feeling? And then also, Jane, hey, Jane, my best friend's on here. wordhippo.com is also a good place to go. Jane and I use it a lot, where if you're trying to identify what you are feeling, you can type it into Word Hippo and it will give you lots of other words similar to it. If it doesn't feel quite right, you might stumble upon, this is actually what I'm feeling. I will tell you, just identifying very often, oh, this is what I'm feeling, offers relief. Even that thought, just knowing what you're feeling and saying, like, I'm so glad that I know that now, gets you out of just feeling miserable. or get you out of feeling terrible or stuck or whatever. All right, everybody. Everybody's talking about Urges 2.0. I think that Urges 2.0 is a great course. If you like, this would be like, if I was, you know, thinking about food and noticing my urges are spiking and that kind of stuff during the holidays, I would totally take Urges 2.0. Even as a refresher, if you've done it before, it's very quick to get through and it can be so helpful. All right, y'all have a good one. We'll talk to you later. Bye, y'all.